Okay, today's daf, Erevin, daf Lamed Beis, the last parak, the last daf here in the fourth parak of Parak Mishahotziuhu. So we are on the Mishnah, on the top of Lamed Beis, and we know that there is a machlokas how, or two ways we should say, and there's going to be a machlokas about those two ways, how exactly one is allowed to set an Erev Tchum. So we mentioned that there are two ways, either putting food, or going there with the, just your presence, being there for the Erev to take place, to be Kona Shvisa. And we mentioned in the last Mishnah that maybe there's a third way, that even if I'm not going to get there, myself, or I, but I know where it is, I'm Makir and Ilan will get there, so then, and I specify exactly where under the tree that I want my Erev to be, so then that also, is possible to set an Erev in that way. So the question is, what is the Iker? As the Mishnah here talks about, what is the Iker, way of setting an Erev Tchum? Says the Gemara, Zeho Sha'amru Ha'ani Ma'arev Biraglav. Vizeho Sha'amru Ha'ani Ma'arev Biraglav. The Ani, somebody who doesn't have the bread, could go Biraglav, could go with his feet to be able to have his presence there. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Lanu Ela Ani. Rabbi Meir says the Iker way to set an Erev is to put bread. After all, that's your, how do you show that this is your place of residence on Shabbos? What is an Iker part of Shabbos? It's all about Oneg, it's all about eating, and therefore food plays a central role, and that's where Meir says, Ein Li Ela Ani, and Ani were Mekel to allow to go and just have his presence there. But the real Iker is the food. Rabbi Huda Omer, Echad Ani Vechad Asher. No, Rabbi Huda says the opposite. An Ani or an Asher could go have his presence there, because that's the Iker. The Iker is that if somebody's there, then actually that's the best way to reflect that you want to be there on Shabbos. Shalom Amru Ma'arvin Bapas Elo Hak Elo Asher. The only the kula that we have to be Ma'ari of Bapas, that we say you could put bread there, that's the kula. Elo Lahak Elo Asher. That's to be Mekel on the Asher, who is very busy and he doesn't want to have to schlep to the edge of the Tum before Shabbos. He'll send the Shliach. Shelo Yetze V'Yarev Baraglav. So he shouldn't have to be going to be Ma'arev Baraglav himself. So I think both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda realize that and agree that there is a concept of Oneg Shabbos based on the Psukim in Yeshayahu. And food plays a central role. The question is, what is the greatest reflection of this being my center of existence on Shabbos? Is it when I'm actually there or when my I put my food there? But again, either way, the other one works. If there is a tzarech, the other one would work as well. Oneg Shabbos, we know, interesting, there's no bracha on Oneg Shabbos, right? Eating the food. Right? The post can talk about why there is no bracha. So the most popular answer given is that it's not nikar that this is a mitzvah. Everybody eats meals on their holidays. And therefore, the some achronim have the idea that if it is not clear, if it is not nikar, that what you're doing is a mitzvah, and even the goyim do these kind of things, so then there is no bracha. Like kibbut avayim, there's no bracha. Like tzedakah, there's no bracha. There's other reasons given for each of those also. But oneg is definitely something that that is done by all. It's food. Right? Remember, the Vilna Gaon is machali between what kavod Shabbos is and what oneg Shabbos is. The Gra in Hilchos Yontif is machalik between everything that we do before Shabbos is what he calls kavod. Kavod Shabbos. But we often say the kavod Shabbos on Shabbos, but really says the Gra in halachic terms, everything we do before Shabbos is kavod Shabbos, and everything we do on Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos is oneg Shabbos. Right? So those are two different ideas. So if you look in the Rambam in the 30th parak, right, most of the Rambam is about the nose. The first 28 prakim, Idil Chashabbos is all about the nose of Shabbos, and Perek Chav Tesla, Perek Lamed, is all about the dues, about the assays. The Rambam starts off in the 30th Perek, Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos. There are four things said about Shabbos. Shnai Min HaTorah, Ushnai Min Devei Sofrim, Tu Mi Daraisa, and Tu Mi Drabanan, Vehein Mefurashin Al Yedei HaNaviim. And they are explicated through the prophets by the Naviim, and that's Yeshayo, Shebet Torah Zohar V'Shamar, V'Shin Espar Shal Yedei HaNaviim, Kavod Va'Oneg. And then the Rambam says, Ezeo Kavod. What is kavod? Zeu sharbar chachamim mitzvah adam lirchos panavet v'raglav, taking a shower b'chamim be'erev Shabbos. Before you go out to a special place, you get a shower beforehand. Umis atef betzitzes, wrapping ourselves in special clothing and tzitzes. V'yoshi b'kavod rosh, sitting with bated breath, anticipation miyachel lakpalas panei Shabbos, getting ready to greet the Shabbos. K'moshi yozi l'kores hamelech, and then the Rambam says, Chachamim, Marishonim, Oyem, Makapsim, Talmideim, they used to gather in groups on Erev Shabbos, Umis Atfim, Vaomrim, and they used to garb themselves and say, Bo, Venetzi, Likra Shabbos, Hamelech. That's the Rambam, Kavod Shabbos. So setting, and that's all about Erev Shabbos. So setting the Erev might be part of Kavod Shabbos. I want to be able to go to that town and enjoy myself, to hear a shir, or to go visit my friend, on Shabbos. So setting the Erev Tchum is part of the mitzvah, maybe, of Kavod Shabbos. Umi Kavod Shabbos Yom Bashkus Dekia, and then not eating a big meal on Erev Shabbos is also part of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, based on the Gemara Maseches Gittin. Also, Kavod Sudo Mishta Be'erev Shabbos, Be'erev Kavod Shabbos, Votolach Velishos V'chulu, and then the Rambam setting up the table, that's all Erev. And then on Shabbos, enjoying on Shabbos, that of course is Oneg Shabbos. The Rambam, mentioning Reb Chaim, points us out that the Rambam has Halakas Neiros in two places. The Rambam has Halakas Neiros both earlier. He has a separate parak where he talks about kavod, and he also calls about oneg, because it's a little both. Set lighting the candles, that's kavod. That's kavod Shabbos, because I'm getting it ready. Everything getting ready beforehand, that is considered the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos, while enjoying the candles on Shabbos, right? So that is oneg, and therefore it could be both kavod and oneg. The lighting and having them lit. Having them lit, both kavod and oneg. So again, setting the Erev could be part of kavod, enjoying it once Shabbos starts and enjoying that Erev, then that could be oneg. The Rambam himself has a machlokas with the Ravid. I think we mentioned this sometime in this Masechta, the end of the sixth parak of Erevin. In Hilchas Erevin, the Rambam says that you make a bracha on Erev Tchum. When you put an Erev Tchum, like all these cases that we're talking about, that you go either putting bread, or when you're there, your presence is there, just being there, you're going to make a bracha. Says the Rambam, G'shem shemavarchin alei ruvei chatzeros, v'shi tufei mavos, kach mavarchin alei ruvei tchumen. We'll make a bracha on Erev Tchum. V'omer, bazeh ha'erev, and after the bracha, we say, the nusach, bazeh ha'erev yemutr li, lahalech mimakum zeh apayimam alecha ruach. V'maya echad ma'arei v'aydei rabim, omer, like we're going to have a case in today's Mishnah, where one person is doing it for many, Bezeh erev yeh mutter leploni uleploni o lebnei makom ploni o lebnei ir zeh lahalech mimakom zeh apayim ama lecharua. So it seems not controversial. The Rambam says you make a bracha on erev chaseros, you make a bracha on erev tchum. The Ravid is very upset. The Ravid says, what kind of bracha? What kind of bracha do you make an erev tchum? You want to set an erev? Yeah, but what kind of bracha is it? What mitzvah is there? Says the Ravid, heichan tzivanu la'ariv betchumin. Where's the tzivui? Bishlama eruvei chatzeros v'shi tufei mavos. Fine, eruv chatzeros. The Rabbanon created an iser, and therefore you want to be mishtatef and go out in your chatzer. Yesh ben heka l'shabish l'lahotzi l'rishas harabim elaha kula nafka mine l'shabish v'lochumra. You're right, you only set the eruv in order to then do a mitzvah, go to a shir, or something like that. Ein a mitzvah no ga'as l'eruv. V'eich yomar v'tzivanu al mitzvahs erev. So that's the Ravid's kasha. Where is the mitzvah? Where is the mitzvah? So Soloveitchik brought this as one of the rayas that the Rambam holds of the concept not only of a bracha on a maisa ha-mitzvah, but a bracha on a chalos ha-mitzvah. Sometimes there are brachas, and it's hard to know, because sometimes there are separate brachas by a mitzvah, and sometimes there's one bracha. Like, for example, by the mitzvah of Mila. Right, most of the time, the bracha on a mitzvah is a bracha on a maisa mitzvah. Before we shake a lulav, before we eat matzah, there's a bracha before the maisa ha-mitzvah. But once in a while, there's a chalos ha-mitzvah. The mitzvah itself achieves a certain new status. By bris mila, the baby is a mahul. Right, and therefore, by a marriage, the woman becomes an ashes ish. So that's why by mila, there are two brachas. Al ha-mila is the bracha on the maisa mila. And lahachnisa b'rizah shalom arvinu is the bracha on the chalos ha-mitzvah, and that is said by the father. By a marriage, by a wedding, it's somewhere in the middle. or machlokas, Rambam Rush, whether it's marriage is a mitzvah or not. But let's say the bracha is all fancy type of bracha. V'tzivan al arayos, v'aslan sarusos. Why don't you just say the regular bracha? Because this is a mitzvah that also achieves a new status. And therefore, there's a bracha on the halos. The chiddush Rav Soloveitchik said, so those might be more obvious that there's a halos, but he says, those are the two brachas on tefillin. On tefillin. What do you mean on tefillin? Tefillin, there's two mitzvahs, right? Al Shel Yad and Shel Rosh are two different mitzvahs, so maybe one bracha on each mitzvah. The answer is no. Because let's say the Ramah Paskins, if you only have the tefillin Shel Rosh, let's say somebody has a cast on their arm all the way up, there's no even stump to put the tefillin Shel Yad on, so we Paskin, you make two brachas on the Shel Rosh. Right, what do you mean? It's one mitzvah. It's two brachas on the mitzvah of tefillin. Why there are two brachas on the mitzvah of tefillin? So one is a bracha on the maisa mitzvah, lahaniach. The bracha on the maisa mitzvah of tefillin, but there's also a bracha on the chalos mitzvah. When somebody wears tefillin, so then they become a different person. The Rambam's Lashon, if you remember the Rambam's Lashon, in the end of Hilchos Tefillin, the Rambam, and the question is, where did the Rambam get this from? The Maritz Chayis assumes that it's based on the Gemara at the beginning of Ein Omdin, but the Rambam says the end of Hilchos Tefillin, that a person becomes a different person when they are wearing tefillin. Says the Rambam, let me just find this Rambam. Here it is, the end of Perek Dalet. Shekolzmacha tefillin sha'al rosho shal adam v'alzro'o hu anav v'yarei v'eino nimshach b'schok u'b'sicha b'teila. He's humble. He is in awe. He's not pulled to levity. Eino maharher b'machshavos ro'os el mafana libo l'divrei ha'emes v'hatzedek. L'fichach, that's why you should have him on all day, the Rambam says, v'chulu. Where does Aaron get this from? And what is he talking about? What the source is? That's one question. So, brachas daf lamed in the Bavli, says the Maritz Chayis. But the Rav Soloveitchik said, this reflects that there is a chalos ha-mitzvah as well. So Rav Soloveitchik said, sometimes you have a chalos, and that's maybe what the Rambam holds here by Trum. There's a chalos shvisa. Maybe that's shchita. Maybe that's Natilas Yadayim. The Rav Soloveitchik gave a couple of examples. But that was all connected to the mitzvah of tchum, setting up an air of tchum, and it's related to the fact that it's either with bread or with your feet, literally. That's the machlokas, Rameir and Rebuta, right here back to the Mishnah, about what is the ikar. Says the Gemara now, Zui Shamru Ha'animar Baragla V'chulur, Meir Savar, Ikar Erev B'kikar. Meir says the ikar Erev is food, placing your food there. V'lama Amu Baragla, why would Rabbanan allow you to go there with your presence? L'hak El Alani Shein Lo Kikar. Latovas Ha'ani, who doesn't have any bread, so we'll allow him to go and stand there at the front, at the edge. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Ikir of the Baraglav. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Ikir of his Baraglav by being there. V'lama Amru B'kikar, Lakal Ala Ashir. The Kikar is to be Mekal on the Ashir. Shalo Yitzi Baraglav, so he shouldn't have to go out, with his feet. He should be able to attend the Shliach in order to go. Afal Gav, now the Gemara adds. Afagav Rabbi Yehuda Amar Iker Erev Baraglav. Even though, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda says Iker Erev is Baraglav, to go there with your feet. Ubilvad, but the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda only allows you to go with your feet. You have to have something. You have to have either you're there or your food is there. Ubilvad shlo yeshev lo b'toch beso v'yomer tikana leishvisim akomploni. You can't stay home and not do either. You have to wait there till it gets dark. Then he could come back to his city. In other words, the heter that we had in the last Mishnah was only for a traveler. Somebody who sees the landmark, who knows of the landmark, and he's within the tchum of the landmark, he's allowed to say shvisa si bi'ikaro. He's allowed to say that. Even though he's not getting food there, and he's not, his presence isn't there, that kula is only where it's impossible otherwise. Right? If he's home, if he could send food, or he could go to get his presence, then you don't have that kula of not having either of those. Period. Vitani can, there's a brisa also that supports this, that you have to do one or the other. Right? If you can't do one or the other, then you have to do it. Maisa ben mishpachas. Bais mama umishpachas beis gurion me roma shemachalkin grogros laniim. These give out dried figs to the aniim bishnei batzores in years of famine vayu aniye shichin yotzer marvin beraglim. So the aniim wanted to be able to come on Shabbos, and therefore they said to the Erev, they said to the Erev with their feet. They were poor. They didn't have the kikaros beforehand. So they went out with their feet before Shabbos. Umamtinin sham hashetachshach. They waited until it got dark, and then they went home. Ulamachay nechnasim va'ochlin sham v'chozrin. And the next day they used to go and come to get the fig. So you see from there, you see that they had to go there themselves. They couldn't just stay home and say, "Oh, we have kavana." That's where Makom Shvi'is is going to be. And don't say that, oh, they were doing something without halachic directive. These people, these city were always followed the right way to do it. And therefore, in this case, you see from there that one is not allowed to use the heter of non-food or non-presence unless it is an impossibility otherwise. Good. It's interesting, though, we'll get to this in a minute, that the usher, it says that the usher could send the shliach with the kikar. Why can't he just send the shliach? Period. To be there. The presence. It sounds like to be makil on the usher so he could just send the kikar. Right? And to be makil on the ani, that the ani could just go there. What about does an usher have to send the kikar? That sounds like it. Sounds like the usher, what if the usher wants to just send the shliach? Go stand there for me. Would that be able to work? Right? Would shlichus be able to work for that? Take my cookie there. It sounds like it could work, but it doesn't give the option of an usher just sending a person. Maybe that's too much. Is that a mitzvah shebegufo? So let's see. Well, first let's do the next Mishnah. Mishi atzaladerech leilech la'ir shemarvin ba, says the Mishnah. Somebody, we've had this Mishnah, we referenced this Mishnah once or twice already in the Masechta. Somebody who was sent by his city to go and make an Erev, everybody wants to go to the next city on Shabbos. So one person goes out. Immediately leilech marvin ba, and then what happened? He meets his friend, and the friend's like, okay, don't worry about it, you go home, and I'll set the Erev for you. Vechziru chadero, and it ends up that the guy, the friend, never set an Erev. Never said an Erev, so what's the halacha? So, machlokas. Hu mutur leilev, chob bnei ha'ir asur and div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he's allowed to go, and the whole city is not allowed to go. What does that mean? We'll have 2 days in the Gemara. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he could go, but not the rest of his city. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol shu yalech la'arev, lo irev, hariz ha'chamar gamal. The mayor says, no, he's stuck. He's stuck, he can't go. He can't go because he left his city, because he had in mind not to be part of his city, but his heir was never sent, was never placed, and therefore he also is stuck, says Rabbi Meir. You see, from here though, before we get back to the actual case, getting back to what we just mentioned before, you can make a shliach. A person, the Bnei Ha'ir can make a shliach to go set an Erev for them. That's shlichus, we know shlucho, shel adam, kimoso, one can set a shliach. But there seem to be some limitations on shlichus, as we just alluded to. Right? If you look in the first piece in the Lekach Tov, first piece in Rabbi Yosef Engel's Lekach Tov, Klal Aleph, Bin Yoni Shlichus, so he has 10 pages, and he says, Nistapakti, the first paragraph, Nistapakti, what does it mean? Hadakaimelon, Shlucha, Shalom Kamoso, Ma'wa, Kavana Bazeh, what is the Kavana? So he has three ways, many Achronim have two ways or three ways to understand Shlichus, Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yosef Engel, and many others. Ima Kavana, Shegufo, again, the roots of these Chakiras are in the Gemara. Whether you say shlichus is mamish, right, kimosa. So what does the Rebbe Yosef Engel say? Ima kavana shegufa shel shliach nachshav gufa mishaleach. The first most extreme way of viewing shlichus is this total identification, total overlap. The mishaleach and the shliach are one unit. I send you to do something, you are me, and I am you. Right? The guf hashliach is like the guf hamishaleach. That is the most extreme. If you say that, then lechora shlichus kashrobus work for everything. Then you have the kasha of the Tosfos Rid and the Ksos. Now, why can't a shliach put on, I'm tired today, so go put on tefillin for me. Right? If shlichus has such a strong approach, so then we have that question of shlucho shalom kamosa. So ima kavada shgumas or shliach nachshav kugufa mishaleach. Oh, a shliach lo adam acher nachshav. What do you say? No. The shliach is like another person. He's not the mamish. Rak shehamaisa asher hu oseh b'shlichuso. It's just that his action is ki'ilu I did it. Al kapanim is yacheses l'mishaleach. V'nechshav shamishaleach asa ha'maisa hu. He's not me, but it's ki'ilu I did what he said he did for me. So that's number two. Either he is me, or he did something and that acted as if I did it, or even less, he did an act and I didn't do the act, but I get the credit. I get the effect of the act. Odilma gama maisa ina misyacheses l'mishalayach, rak l'shliach, v'nechshav sh'ashliach asa maisa v'lo ha'mishalayach. The shliach did the act, not the mishalayach. Rak sh'atorah gazra, it's just that the Torah decreed, sh'af sh'adam acher asa ha'maisa, the chiddush of the Torah is that even if somebody else does the act, lo hu, al kol ze akivet sh'sholcho l'kach mo'eles ha'maisa shel ha'acher avuro. Ki'ilu asahu, right? So you get the credit for it, even though he didn't do it. So again, if you have the first approach, the most extreme approach, that's when you get the questions that the Achronim ask based on the Rishonim. Tosfos reading Kimisachas Kiddushin. What about shlichus for dvarim shebegufo? Right? If I have to do something, why can't you do it? If you're me, if that's the chiddush of shlichus, so you might ask that here too. Why can't the ashir just send the person? The usher could go be Ma'ari Baraglav, so why can't he send another person be Ma'ari Baraglav? It sounds like the usher, in all these cases, the person himself has to be Ma'ari Baraglav, right? Or what was going on here in our Mishnah, Mishiyasa Lech Laderech? Was he going with bread or even without bread? Unclear. Maybe it would work. Maybe it would work to be able to, send somebody just to be Ma'ari Baraglav for you. Okay. Either way, Shlichus is a huge topic. We'll see it later if there's time to come back to these sugyas of shlichus. So the Mishnah said, machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, what is the case, what is the halacha where somebody is sent to make an eruv and the friend sends him back and, he then, is told that it's not going to, don't worry about it, he doesn't have to do it, and the friend never set the eruv. So now he's stuck. So what's the halacha? So what exactly does the Mishnah mean when Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda, he's mutter and the city is aser and everybody else is aser? Rabbi Meir says even he's stuck. So Mishia Sol Chus La'ir Pater La Train Pitrin Amar. Well, the first case is the first shot of the Mishnah is the following: Amar Anamari V'Alechav Abanei Kartacha. With the person he met says, I'm going to be married for you and all your city. V'Iri V'Abanei Kartiv Lo Yiri Lave. And what happened? He made an error for everybody else except for this guy. He doesn't like this guy, so he made an error for everybody else but not him. So what's the halacha there? So the halacha is according to the first pshat, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who aser lelech boso aruach. The guy himself, he's like his original city. He could go 2,000 amos around his original city, but he can't go towards the new city because the guy didn't send an error for him. So who aser lelech boso aruach? He can umoter b'shar kol aruchos shebeiro, but he could go anywhere else. He could go, to any other direction of his city because he's like, he never left his city. The hein mutar bosa ruach, but they, the people of the city, it's ke'ilu, right? There was an eruv set for them, so they could go towards that new city, and that's their new tchum. The aser b'shar kol aruchos shebeiro, but they can't go to all the other directions of their original city because their eruv was set. So that's the first shot. So according to this, when the Mishnah says he's able to go, that's referring to he's able to go wherever he wants based on his original tchum, and they can't go based on the original tchum because they have a new tchum, which is exactly what they wanted. But that's pshat number one, in the Mishnah. Again, it's not the pashup pshat of the Mishnah, but that's first case. Again, the case was where the guy set an error for everybody else in the city, but not for him. Pater la, pater chorin, there's another pshat, amrle, anamari valecha valbnei kartecha, where the guy says, I'll make an error for you and everybody, and he didn't make any error. That's what we thought the pshat was. He didn't make any eruv. So there, it works out that the guy who was the original shliach, he at least has some effectiveness. He, the person who gave the eruv, even though it was never placed, he had kavana. He was already yotzei from the city. He already showed in his behavior that he wants the new eruv. So because he already has the status of a traveler and he's out of the city and he has kavana for the other city. So he is as if he has the new tchum. But they can't because everybody else in the city, they have the original tchum of the city. In both of these cases, Remeir is machmir. In those cases, Remeir is machmir and he says no. Remeir says they're stuck. Chamar Gamal, right? But this is the Tupshatim in the Gemara was for Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So that's in terms of, again, but what does this have to do with the previous case? Because in the second shot, he's nechshav a traveler because he's already outside the city. And that's why we would allow him the third method of the Erev Tchum working. He didn't put bread there. He didn't go there to the new city, but he had kavana. He had kavana to be there, and he already was actively out. And that's why it would work. Good. Says the Mishnah, last Mishnah here in the Perek Halacha Yud. Somebody goes out of his tchum on purpose. On purpose, says the Karban Eda, b'mezid umidas shelo l'shem mitzvah. Right, shelo l'shem mitzvah, he's out. Afilu ama achas lo yikanes, even one ama out. Even one ama out, he is out, he's not allowed to go back in. Meaning, even though you might say, oh, there's something like an overlapping tchum, he only went one out, he should be able to go back in. No. He's not allowed to go back in. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch says this, Simen Tafei, Sif Aleph, Mishi Yatzal Chutz Latchum Afilo Ama Achaz, Lo Yikanes Lios Kibnei Yir. He's stuck. He cannot go out to be like the people. See, Ve'ein Lo Ela Arba Amos Me Amidas Raglav Vilachutz. Right? He only has four Amos from where he is standing. From where he is standing, says the Mishnah Berura. Rotzel Lomar, Delo Tema, don't say Da Ama Achaz Lo Chashiv Yitzia. What's one ama? Right? No, he's, what's, here it is something. And therefore, you only have four amos from where you are standing. Me'amidas raglo ve'lachutz. Me'amidas ve'lachutz. Mr. Brewer again continues. Avol tzat panim klalo. Da'ap evadil kuli ama yachol avar harbar shalocho mishi yirtze. Even though generally you could go four amos wherever you want. Shiny hacha. Kimon shehizchel aleches el aver zeh. Since you started going in one direction, nire kibor haba amos mi menu valhalla. Sounds like you seem like you're going in a certain direction, and therefore it is you even have less than a stama person who has generally four amos. Okay, so the Mishnah says if you go out of the tchum even one ama, lo yikanes. Rebbe Lazar omer shtay mikanes. So if it's within two, you could still go in. If you went two amos out, you could still come back in. Why? Says the Karban Eda, Mishum Havloas Tchumen. Havloas Tchumen, overlapping Tchumen. And just like we saw in the last Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, a couple of Mishnahs ago, that Rebbe Eliezer says, V'hu Be'emtza'an. Remember that Mishnah, how do you measure the four Amos? Rebbe Eliezer says, you're in the middle of your four Amos. Rebbe Yehuda says, you're not. You can choose any direction that you want to go in. Lezer Rosh Yirtza. Rebbe Eliezer says, you're within your four Amos. That's here too. If you're two out, yikanes, shalosh lo yikanes. If you're three out, then that's too far. That's if you went out on purpose. What about if you're coming in? You didn't do anything wrong. You're traveling and you just didn't realize. So if somebody was a traveler and he's coming, he's one ama outside the tchum. He just doesn't realize it. Doesn't realize it, you can't go in. If he was Konish Fisa right there, you can't go in. You don't say Havlas Tchumen in that case. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Filo Chamesh Yama Yikanes. Rabbi Shimon says there is a leeway. There's flexibility because Rabbi Shimon says the last 15 Amos, even if you're within 15 Amos, you can go in. Why? Because the measurers aren't so medactic. They know people cut it close, and therefore She'ena Meshochos B'matzah Nes Amidos. And the measurers aren't so exact because of the people who make mistakes. The Ruchai Kadeski here is 2 days, whether it's exactly 15 amos or it's just lavdafka, it just means in general, they allow you. So even if you went 2 amos, 3 amos out, you're still allowed to come in if you are machshich ala tchum. Right? The Rabbanan always to take care of us. All dinim d'rabbanan, right? All dinim d'rabbanan we have to look at. This isn't a din d'rabbanan. This is just the Rabbanan made sure that the measurers always leave some flexibility. But we always have to look at dinim d'rabbanan not as they're not making our lives more difficult. They're not limiting our behavior. They're protecting us. When there's a fence that's close to a cliff, we don't look at the fence as, oh, I can't believe this. The fence is not letting me go. No, the fence is protecting me. So dinim d'rabbanan, gzeiros d'rabbanan generally are like that, right? They're protecting me from falling off the cliff. And that here too is literally the 15 amos. Only two. Rebbe Lazar says if you went two amos out, you could come back in. lo yikanes. Add in the lo. But if you went 2 plus, you can't come back in. To derabalazak, this is derabalazak, derabalazak, amr shtayim yikanes, shtayim shalosh lo yikanes. Because that's what the first line, it says shtayim yikanes. 2 you can go back in, mashma, more than 2 you can't go back in. So Gemara says, and what about the next line? Amr lo rabiosi, amr debasra. Look at the next line of shalosh lo yikanes. Hashalosh pachas kashu yikanes. Right, less than, it's 3 you can't go in, less than 3 you should be able to go in. So don't be medayik anything from the Mishnah, because you can't say two and a little bit. You can't be medayik either way, because you get opposite impressions from those two lines. Haviboy meimar, madabar, Blazer b'yotzei, habamachshaklo, where originally they thought that Rabbi Blazer says that you could go back in if you're two amos, that's only, only if you were Yotze. If you originally were part of the Tchum and now you went out of the Tchum. But maybe if you're Machshich coming from the outside, maybe you don't have those two Amos because you were never part of this Tchum. Ashatani yada yada. But we ended up finding a Brisa that says no, either way. Rabbi Elazar says either way, within two, you're good. And Avibon Meimar, Madabar Reb Shimon. That Reb Shimon says you have the 15 Amos, but Machshich, that's only somebody coming from the outside who didn't do anything wrong. So we might have said that if somebody went up a mason, we're not going to give him this flexibility, the extra 15 amos. And we end up saying, no, there's a brisa that says that it applies to both someone who was machshich and someone who was yotzi. We finished the fourth parak of Maseches Eruvin.